Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I know you might be hearing things, but we are back. We are back. We are live. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself, who cannot speak too loud because his daughter's sleeping right now. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have Mr. Deportation himself, the one, the only.
Good grief. It is Sean Black in the building once again.
Okay. So the number, if there's anyone out there who's listening live right now, to call or complain or tell us what's on your mind, the telephone number is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, I know you're pissed off. Do you want to spread out your pissing off?
We might as well.
Okay. And before we get started, ladies and gentlemen, it's 11 o'clock in New York time, well, East Coast time. We are 1 hour away of someone on the line right now, birthday. So I want to wish a happy birthday to girlfriend, to a person I know for many, many years, who's on the show right now. I want to give a happy birthday to myself, the Hot Rod. Yes.
Yes, even though your birthday's in September, but happy birthday, Hot Rod. Right.
Fine. I'll give you a 2 second shout out. Happy birthday, Sean Black, in advance.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. There's a lot going on in this crazy world today. Monday night, we did talk about a few things, but before I get into it, Sean Black, it was announced earlier on ABC that they will work on a spinoff of Roseanne. Maybe the title could be The Conners. I know we discussed about this before, but now this seems like it's more legit. Do you think they should have done a reboot of the show? And most of all, do you think this will work?
It's ABC. It's Disney money. I think they could make it work if it's done in a way that kind of tackles the reason why Roseanne is not on the show anymore. Now, if they keep the same cast with all of the writers, et cetera, that were making it successful in the first place, yeah. I don't know if some of those writers are going to come back, because usually the writers are the ones that make everything work the way they are. It's a particular formula that works with the actors and the writers, et cetera, et cetera. So it could feasibly work. Will it work? I have a feeling that the horse is out of the barn right now, and I think it'll get a buzz. But then the people that were diehard Roseanne fans that would have looked at it just for Roseanne are probably going to leave and just say whatever. So that's what I think.
As for me, being in the entertainment business for a while, believe it or not, I do not like spinoffs or reboots. Game shows is one thing, because, you know, game shows is like whatever. But sitcoms and other shows, it's very hard to copy the original because I'm old school. I understand why they're doing this, and I respect it, why they're doing this, because, you know, you're saving jobs. You're trying your best to save these people jobs. You know, they got family to feed, et cetera, et cetera. But without the main person, or the name on the show is based on, it's going to be very hard. Can they do it? Of course. But as you know, there's a big rate spin-off shows have not gone too well. And all this backlash that happened, and like you say earlier, Roseanne Barr, believe it or not, the crazy person that she is, had a huge fan base. It will get a quick buzz. People might watch in the beginning. But without the main character, I believe, and I always firmly believe, and there's a good chance it might not work. Like, remember the two show, Two and a Half Men? I love that show. Why? Because of Charlie Sheen. Then after the incident happened, I understand they're trying to keep the show going. With Ashton Kutcher, it was just not the same. It was still funny, but not like without the main character. So they had two more seasons, and that was it. If Charlie Sheen was still on that show, maybe that show still could be on today with his crazy jokes. Mm. So Do I want it to work? Yeah. Do I think it will work, bottom line? I don't think so.
Yeah. And like I said, also, it depends on the network. It depends on the audience. Now, I've seen two episodes of Roseanne's show. And in all reality, they, even though Roseanne was it's her show, the show really didn't revolve around her per se. The most of the show really revolved around most of the other family members in reaction to what her being the head of the household, being a Trump voter living in that post-Trump world. And it centered mostly around Darlene and how she was raising her kids and the sister. So if they want to go in that route, we'll see. Now, like I said before, how they deal with Roseanne being off the show, that'll be a completely different monster. Do they kill her off? Do they say that
she moved
to...
Of course they have to kill her off.
Yeah, who knows what happens? It depends. Yeah. I think what will determine if anyone is going to care is how they address Roseanne not being on the show. Does it happen like a year later? You know, did she get run over by a truck? Did Dan and Roseanne get divorced? Who knows? That's up to the writers.
Okay. Well, earlier today I sent Sean Black a story that the media is going crazy right now. due to immigration policy. But first, there was talk about Donald Trump's wife, Melania Trump. She went down to visit Texas, one of the facilities where they're holding immigration children. But people were not talking about that per se, more so. They were talking about what she was wearing. How this became a topic, I don't know, but this is what the media is talking. So Sean and I decided to address it. She wore a jacket with an imprint on the back before and after the visit. And on the back of the jacket said, and I quote, "I really don't care, period. Do you?" Question mark. Now, Sean, when you saw that story, you heard what the media was saying. Why she's wearing this? And you're going to see children. Bottom line, what is your intake about this jacket?
There had to be invested meaning behind it. Nobody, first and foremost, is we know Melania being a former model. We know that she has money, she's made money, she's married to money in the president, Donald Trump. We also know that she usually, basically her entire aura of being the first lady is wearing very opulent, expensive clothing from high, trendy designers. She wore this jacket that, from what I've read up on, only cost $39, which from what we know is probably the cheapest outfit or a piece of clothing that she's worn since she's been first lady. The message is involved in that from this sense, and the reason why it's important is because, like you stated earlier, she was going to the border to see the detention centers at Pornillo, Texas. Now, the problem with that is that Texas over the last few days has got torrential floodwaters and rain, et cetera, et cetera. So she couldn't actually go to the detention center that she initially wanted to go to, so she went to a different one in Texas where she got off the plane wearing that jacket. When she went to the detention center, she wasn't wearing the jacket, and she barely addressed the people that were there at the detention center. On the way back to the plane, she wore the jacket again. Now, from what I also read, the president on Twitter basically said that it was the reason why it was worn was that the message was a shot at the quote-unquote fake media, which we know the president always has an issue with, saying that she's tired of the fake media and she doesn't care about them anymore either, and he likes the jacket. This is where all of the consternation comes from, and this is where all of the arguing and the press and the media, et cetera, because they're trying to find a meaning as to why she would wear a jacket with a message on it where she's probably never worn one before since she's been first lady. What is your idea behind this as far as what you think the message is behind it?
When I first saw it, I thought exactly the same thing. She wore it to make a statement towards the media, because as a mother, as a parent, yes, she may not be perfect, but I don't think she'd wear that to make fun of the immigrant of the children down at the detention center. That would be absurd. What is the point? It's like, let me go down there, give me the middle fingers, and walk away. She did that for the media, but guess what? The media is talking about it. We're talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. About a statement, wore on a jacket, and it works. She did it. It's a backshot like his. She gave the media a F you. Because, you know, you always want to talk about us. That's the bottom line. It's not towards the children. Was it bad taste? Yes, but guess what? It is what it is.
Yeah. Well, I'm part of bad taste from an administration that has bad taste patented right now.
But it's like, once again, I'm like, I think this does an overreaction overall because there's bigger problems. I'm like, this draws the attention away from the bigger problem itself, the family and the children. And for us to be talking about a jacket is a distraction.
You know what it is? I don't even think it's an overreaction as much as it's part of the reaction. You know, if you look at that as just being the end-all, be-all argument of why people are angry, I think that's misplaced. What I think it is it's a part. You know how you usually say that you don't cure a symptom, you cure the sickness? I think part of this is the symptom of what the larger narrative is, and people are angry at the symptom. What we're going to get into in another couple of minutes is going to be probably the sickness that is infesting going on right now.
Well, is it sickness or this is a zero tolerance? Because a lot of people, like I told you yesterday, you know, at my job place, it seemed like a lot of, I'm trying not to say it this way, but I have no choice to a degree. It seemed like the white guys at my job, like when they were watching the news, yeah, get the immigrants, lock them up, blah, blah, blah. And like I told you, I at work I don't get involved in politics and all that stuff. So, you know, there's a place and a time, and I don't want to argue. You and I, Kator, Brother B, everybody else, we all argue. But in the end, you know, you think you have your thoughts, I have my thoughts. We have peace. You know, but some people, they take it very seriously, and they support the zero tolerance. And some of them don't care that families are being separated overall. And so, Sean Black, before I go to Brother B, what was your thought when you heard yesterday that Donald Trump signed an executive order to have families not being separated? Take your time, please.
The bottom line for this entire thing is that Donald Trump signing this executive order to put into place that the thousands and thousands of children that have been deported with their families are being separated from their parents to other facilities. And we saw the pictures of them being in pretty much like dog kennels, being separated from their families, nobody knowing where they are. To sign an executive order is akin to the arsonist that starts the fire and then is the fireman that goes ahead and puts out the fire and claims, look at what I did. This started, the policy with what's been going on with immigration has been in place for a very, very long time, starting for the most part with President George
Clinton.
W. Bush. And it went from Clinton to George W. Bush, and then through Obama, and Obama deported more people on his watch than the previous administrations combined, from what I've read up on.
Yeah,
and
that's what a lot of people
with Trump.
I'm glad you're happy with it. I'm happy you brought up that point, because a lot of people fail to realize Obama deported a lot of people,
yes,
but not in this type of fashion.
And not just that. He deported families. He did not take them apart. What's happening here is this zero tolerance instance that was put into place back in April that President Trump put was on him, his watch, his administration. And what has happened is for the last 2 months, well over 2,000 children have been displaced in different detention centers now around the entire country. Seattle, Portland, Los Angeles, San Diego. There's four in Texas that we know of. Miami. There was one that I read a little earlier on in Michigan where there are 50 kids that are there in the detention center. And the most egregious ones are one of an 8-month-old and an 11-month-old. And remember the news had broke that the executive order was signed into place. That was supposed to have gone into effect, I believe it was Monday, or Tuesday, I should say. Up until Wednesday, that same day, or the same day that it was signed, there were people in New York still being brought in from other places to the New York detention spot. 239 kids in New York City were held as of last night at a detention place. And here's the crazier part. The mayor, Bill de Blasio, New York City mayor, didn't even know that that was the case. There is some fundamental things going on here that need to be changed. And the person that you have to look at that's supposed to be in charge of all of this stuff, but below Trump and below Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, his name is Alex Azar. He's the head secretary of Health and Human Services. He's responsible on his watch for looking over all of these kids that are in these detention centers that are all over the country. Just to show you how callous and how tone-deaf this person is, Saturday was when this new facility opened up on his watch in Tornillo, Texas, Friday. The Saturday after it opened, instead of looking over all of this stuff, he was at a 30th-year class reunion for his college at Dartmouth. He didn't oversee what was going on with these kids. He didn't talk about what was going on with these kids. He actually went to his class reunion, so to speak, instead of what's going on. And for a lot of people that wonder why that's the case, you remember when Condoleezza Rice, who was the Secretary of State during 9/11, caught holy hell for instead of going to see what was going on with Katrina. And instead of what was going on in Katrina, she went to New York and went shoe shopping and went to a Broadway show. So this is the kind of madness that has been going on. When you have kids involved now, that is infuriating the nation. And you got 65% of the nation upset, wondering why this is going on.
Okay, Brother B, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm sorry about that.
Hey, what's going on?
No worries.
Greetings and salutations.
Yes.
Yes. Please. I hope we don't get deported while you're on the show right now. You know, please don't get deported.
Yeah, I don't want to say anything to get us deported.
Yeah.
I don't know where to begin. Sorry, I'm out in the street. I was about to go inside for work. Yeah. I don't really know where to begin when it comes to this whole thing. All I know is it's interesting how the people who, the original immigrants are pushing for immigration. I mean, I hate to go there, but I don't see, you know, white people ain't got green cards. I don't see, you know what I'm saying? They came here legally, but yet they want to talk about who's legal and who's not. Listen, my whole thing is this. They've been ripping apart families and doing all types of screwy since they got here. So, of course, the narrative is never really going to change. Everybody supports Trump. A lot of people support Trump because they love that attitude. Like, this is our country. This is ours, 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 ours. It's not yours. Meanwhile, they kidnap people, rape people, stole people's land, but you want to keep talking about what's yours, yours, and nobody else helped you do anything. I mean,
Brother B, you're touching the subject there.
Did you know what is funny? They can get on in front of the camera and say whatever they want to say about us, but we ain't supposed to say anything back. Because my whole thing is, why you got to be that sensitive? So if a white person comes to me and say, hey, what's up, homie? Do I get offended? Maybe, maybe not. But if I say something according to their history, because it's in the books. Don't get offended, don't get mad, and don't label me some type of black nationalist, some Black Panther or somebody. So,
but yeah, I just
you know what I'm saying?
With this immigration policy thing, we all, like I said before, we all agree immigration is a huge problem in this country. But do you think the zero tolerance is working? Because family, separate families apart, like you say, they've been doing
no,
years.
It's not working.
Why are we?
No, it's not working. Why are you? Why? What are you doing with somebody's 8-month-old and 11-month-old? How do you find that humane? But see, once again, it's not about humanity. It's not about morals. It's about business. Because that's what America is. America is a corporation. And especially this dude, who's not a politician, he's all about business. And if it doesn't fit the business narrative, he doesn't care about it. So taking so separating families is nothing to him.
And the saddest part about this whole argument that we've been talking about as far as getting the immigration policy done, there was a bill that was supposed to go to the Senate that didn't even get through because it was basically filibustered by the Democrats. And what was supposed to happen was that in doing this, it was going to end what they call the chain immigration or chain merit system of getting immigrants in, et cetera, et cetera. But at the back end of this, as Hot Rod stated a couple weeks ago when we talked about this before, is that it has the inclusion of that $25 billion towards this Mexican border wall. And any Democrat that was looking at this knew what was going on with this and knew that they were going to try and basically hold everybody over a barrel and make sure that they shook down as much as they could to include that. That's where a lot of this is coming from. And if you can't see this as they say, you can see the forest for the trees, if you can't see this coming, then something is definitely wrong, because the fact remains is that the President of the United States seems to be using immigrants' children as political pawns to get the funding needed for this border wall, as evidenced by what was attached to that entire bill that was shot down.
Well, think about this. Well, before I go to UK, dog, excuse me. The children thing is working because it's grabbing people's attention. It was dealt to families themselves. Being deported, being kidnapped, will be taken away. Will we be talking about it right now? If Obama did it, Clinton did it, Bush did it, it's because they separated the family, and we see images of the children crying. Because as parents and uncles and godfathers that we are, we get upset about this. So isn't it working right now to a certain degree? K-Dog?
Listen, the bottom line is this, is that it's just inhumane to be ripping apart families. This has been going on in this country for centuries. And, you know, you're watching television and you see children laying down with foil paper. It's very disturbing. And, you know, it's like you're showing that you don't give a damn that you're ripping children apart from their families.
Well, they don't give a damn.
They don't. They really don't, because you know what? I'll say it again. It's been happening for centuries, and now with this yuck putting his thing into law, it's not protecting them. It's not protecting the children, because what you're doing is that you're separating the families. You have children as young as a 9-month-old baby. You're taking a 9-month-old baby away from its mother and father. How inhumane is that?
Okay.
But real quick.
You know what they're doing? You know what it is?
They don't care. But what I find interesting, nobody's focusing on the fact that they don't care and the fact that it's not humane. But they wanted to jump all over Michael Vick for shooting for dogs. But yet you're doing this. Interesting.
But before you guys go on, isn't this part of the immigrants' fault of coming to this country illegally? I'm a technically speaking. You want to come to America, don't you go through the proper documentation to become an American citizen? Isn't that part of the problem also?
Well, for history, illegal immigration has been going on for centuries. Even before this quote-unquote country was founded, remember, people came here on boats.
Yes, but now the system is still broken, Kato. But is it a way? I'm like, you came here. Your father came here. He working hard to get his paperwork to become an American citizen. What about the people that came across the border? We're talking about that. They're across the border trying to get, quote-unquote, better life. They know,
you know what
there's
it is?
A way to get the system.
Because they're fleeing something that's going on in their country. And they're doing it by any means necessary, by the best way they know how, because illegal immigrants have been doing that for years. And, you know, with this going on, it's like people are seeing the inhumane because, you know what, they're being vocal about the inhumanity. They're being vocal and saying, we don't want them here.
All right, listen, let's just be honest. Look, can we be honest?
Yeah, man.
Because I believe it was George Washington. I don't remember what year it was, but because I was doing some research. It was George Washington that actually signed that whole thing where, because people were just coming over here because they were feeling threatened. They didn't want to be overpowered because their numbers had to be more than everybody else's. So that's what this is really all about. They're afraid of being taken over. So that's why all of a sudden people coming over here for a better life, and they don't want their numbers to be drowned out by a whole bunch of people who they call illegal immigration, immigrants. They don't want that.
And that what Sean was telling me last night. Sean, you want to continue on that?
Yes. What happens is that during the census poll, as we know, they usually do their surveys of who's in where, what, why, for services, et cetera. This is the most interesting thing. They said last year was the first year that Caucasian men, or what they will call Caucasian men, were actually dying out at a faster rate than they were being born, which was the first time in the history of the census that had actually been the case. Usually when they try and find out how races in the United States are quote-unquote replenishing by being born, et cetera, you have a group that will reproduce, and then at some point that group will die out from health reasons, et cetera. And this is the first time that that has happened in the history of the census, where you have African Americans are not dying at that same rate as far as that goes. They're kind of weathering the storm. Hispanics are weathering the storm. Asian Americans are weathering that storm. But Caucasians are dying out a little bit faster and not replenishing as fast. So that's one of the key issues. But the other thing to look at as well, as we're talking about this whole thing, is the condescending attitude that a lot of people that are in the society that have the power to speak up are saying. People like Ann Coulter, who are saying that these are child actors. Like Laura Ingraham, who was on Fox News, basically saying that, oh, they're just at sleepaway camp, or they're just away for a short trip. They're being treated well. And we've been hearing reports over the last maybe day or so that a lot of the kids in these detention centers are being raped. A lot of the detention centers there are people that are being over-medicated. There was one report that I read of a child that was brought to one of the centers in Michigan who was suicidal because they hadn't spoken to their mother in 30 days. There's no paperwork to determine what happens when that exchange happens, and even more so going into this whole executive order. Even with the executive order signed in, that's not going to stop anybody from saying, okay, we put the executive order, et cetera. What's the plan in place to reunite these 2,000 children with their parents? Because, one, you're talking about children who are very young. You're depending on them knowing information about their parents, knowing their social security numbers, if any identification that will link them to their families, and all of this while you probably have to either change a diaper, make sure that they have medication, if they're not sick, identify birthmarks, et cetera, et cetera. So that may have, if this is the case, have stopped on the books. What's the next part of this is reuniting the parents and their children, and that's not going to happen anytime soon. So where is the plan in place? And what's happened is the president and his administration does things at a fly-by-your-seat pace where they don't have any plans in order, anything done regimented in any order at all that makes any sense.
Okay, I have 404-921. You're on the air.
Yo, man. What's up with you and these numbers, man? We got to talk about this someday, homie.
No, I didn't say the whole number. I have your number. I didn't say the whole number.
I mean,
I'm not going to disrespect you like that. Come on.
Come on, man. We got to stop this.
Oh, I was hoping for you to call. I miss you. And I'm sure you have a lot to say about this immigration policy. So go ahead. Guys, let's let him talk. Let's hear what he has to say and entertain me.
Yeah, I'm not gonna start anything. No trouble tonight, because I think y'all probably laid out everything on it. But no matter what? They're trying to. Yeah. I mean,
I thought you support this type of thing.
Hell no.
Well, let him speak his piece. Go on ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hell no, we'll never support something like this. But no matter what, you see what they're trying to do. They're trying to make this into a deterrent to say, hey, this is how we're treating these people. They're supporters. They cheer on stuff like this. They actually like the reaction of liberals who get upset and cry and scream and stuff. They kind of are fueled by that to a degree. So this is the kind of politics we should have expected from this party when they were elected. And if you look to Europe, you see the same type of movement going on. It's a white nationalist movement to a degree with the veneer of it being a conservative movement, but it's not actually conservative. So, you know, these policies to where you're driving people up here by the calamities you're causing in South America, and then they get here and you say, well, I don't believe these people are seeking asylum. I think they're trying to just skip the line, as opposed to saying, damn, Guatemala just had an earthquake and a volcano eruption in the past month. And they got the MS-13 and other infamous gangs that you tell people to be scared of. Now when they get here, all of a sudden you say you don't believe them. So, you know, this is a really raggedy process. And the scariest thing about all of this is, okay, you've separated the kids and you've also sent a bunch of the parents home. You don't have a logistical way of connecting them back together. Are we going to see a lot of these kids end up getting adopted in America?
No.
Like, we got some sick stuff going on here.
Yeah,
and that was the point that I had just brought up to.
Okay.
I mean, overall, I just find it mind-boggling because people have posted on social media how this had been happening years ago with the blacks when white people separate the blacks and everything. So why should this be any different? How do you guys feel that we should be saying about anything that happened in the past?
Right. I'll explain the difference. The difference between something being not as well run as you want and you end up with some people and their kids being separated, that's different from writing it in policy and saying this is exactly what we're doing. We're not letting any asylum seeker get asylum, and we're splitting them up if they do try to come. So the process becomes different when you say this is the purpose, as opposed to saying you made some mistakes or you did some things wrong.
The flip side of that argument is that usually with the immigration policy, it's for those that are seeking asylum or trying to get into the country legally, they will go to ports of interest that would be able to allow them to come and seek asylum legally. The problem is they're going to those same ports of entry, and they're still being told they can't come in. So
yeah.
If you're telling them that there's a way to do it legally and you're still prosecuting them, what are they supposed to do?
Brother B?
Yeah.
Listen,
yeah, Brother B.
I get where y'all coming from on the politics, but I don't really do politics because in the grand scheme of things, it's all BS. Paperwork, 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 it's all BS. What we're watching right now is they're trying to regain, they feel that they lost control, so they're trying to regain it by basically any means necessary. Like I said, there's a double.
I'm sorry, what do you mean by lost control? Since Obama took office 8 years ago, 10 years ago, do you think they lost control or they are?
What did that the owner say? The inmates ain't supposed to be running the prison. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Remember, the minorities, they are becoming the minority now, and everyone else is the majority, and they're in fear of that. Listen, everybody, a lot of people that have come to this country that are not on that Anglo-Saxon line, like Italians, like the Irish, and all other types of people that came here, they're just like, yo, we don't want you here. But, of course, they accepted the Irish, and they accepted the Italians, and they accepted all the fair-skinned Hispanics. Why? Because they can use them to bolster their numbers. but they can't, you know, I mean, to a degree, there's a certain level of control that they have to keep, and basically they're losing it, or they feel that they're losing it because, oh, everybody's coming here taking their jobs. Listen, if you don't want to do it, then somebody else is going to do it. See, that has been, this is one of the reasons how America was founded. Your lazy asses didn't want to do this, so you felt you can go kidnap people and do whatever they wanted to do and keep them in slavery. Then the whole situation backfired on you because technically we weren't supposed to go past the chains. And if that was the case, we were all supposed to be in prison or we were supposed to be dead. But that little experiment of slavery that they was doing, it was supposed to go on forever and ever and ever. And it didn't work that way. So, I mean, we can talk politics all we want to, but the real thing is this. You have someone that's sitting in office and other people that are sitting in office that are okay with destroying the family structure, with taking little babies and separating mothers and fathers and all the people who come to look for a better life. They're not coming here to do the wrong thing. Like, they came here to do the wrong thing. Oh, you indigenous people didn't want to share? Well, we're going to get rid of you, and we're going to take it.
Oh,
you see what I'm saying? I'm calling a spade, and if they don't like it, I don't care.
But you know what? I agree 100% with what you said, Brother B, because this is a well-known fact, and it has been going on throughout history, where they separated families, ripping children out of the arms of their parents, and now you have a bunch of children. You're sending them to and fro different places. Now, how the hell is it that you're going to rip these kids out of their family, from the arms of their family? And now, what are you going to do with these children?
But check this out. I like how they're trying to normalize it. They're trying to normalize racism. But once again, I'm going to call a spade a spade. I don't hear the LGBT or any other community, anybody else coming out standing up because it's not their cause. But they want everybody else to stand up for their cause. And like all these other people want people to stand up for their causes, but you don't want to stand up for other people. You see what I'm saying? It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all bullshit.
But we got to be careful about assumptions on stuff. You got to look into it. Like, we can't just say, I don't deal with politics, and then, you know, start speaking for it afterwards. You actually got to look into the stuff. So, no, those groups are actually activated for this. Those groups are moving for this. Now, if you could say they got ulterior motives and they want power and they're going to use this as a way to actually get power, but you can't say that they're not there because they are actually – they were out there in New York recording. They've actually marched on Washington. They've been putting pressure on senators and congressmen. So all of these different groups on the left, man, you best believe they're going to show up for this, even if it's a photo op. So I'm not going to, you know
– But I'm
not going to give them all the credit in the world.
Actually, this morning I saw a protest, a massive protest of and I'm glad that you mentioned about the different groups. Who is that? Is that Nas, brother?
Yeah.
Is that
yeah,
Nas?
Yeah.
Nas, man.
Yeah,
hey,
yeah,
man, what's going on? Yeah, listen. What I saw this morning in the news, I saw a report of a protest going on at LaGuardia Airport. And you should have seen different people where they're speaking, they're showing their outrage towards what was going on. And, you
well,
know, a
yeah,
lot of them were saying about the children.
Yeah, but this country split apart. Well, who's winning in the end? Who will win this war? What's done is done. Kids, their lives are changed forever. Whether most of them are reunited with their families or not, their mind is gone. This is a scary thing. You know, God forbid this happened to my children. I will lose my mind. I might kill myself. I'm not going to lie about that. But this is a terrible thing we are doing towards the people who are looking for a better life. And I like to say it, it's the white people that are really causing this. Why? They're afraid of us? They're afraid of what's going on, or they listen to one man.
Well, like I said before, listen, we ain't thinking about y'all. Everybody else trying to come here and do what they got to do for themselves. But the thing is, some of them are thinking about what we're thinking about. Some of them are concerned with the fact that, oh, they're making money, they're making moves, they're educating themselves. Every time we take a step forward, their whole attitude is like, we got to do something to push them back. Now, I don't know all the stats on Obama, but listen, the man came in, and the next thing you know, everybody ran out and bought guns because they thought he was just, like, black people were just going to go wild out and they were going to put them in chains. It's ridiculous. No. That mentality doesn't go anywhere.
We went out and bought five chicken.
You can't raise a whole population with all that deep inherent racism and think it ever goes away. They always played on it, but this time the monster got out of their control. They elected a guy who they didn't want, and the monster is kind of, you know, rallying behind him. Now, the other brother, like, I disagree with him on saying other groups weren't activated, but he did have a point when you start talking about private prisons, and you start talking about all the hell that black people go through, these same people treated as, well, I guess black people just fucking up and deserve it. So they don't have that same activation overall because in their mind, they live in a fair, just country. And if black people would just act right, these things wouldn't happen to them. So, you do got a great point there because I'm right with you on that. But,
well, these other groups, they're posing. They're posing. And you know it because I remember when the Wall Street thing happened. You know how many people made money off of that Wall Street, that whole little Wall Street protest that they were doing? It's all about money, and it's all about the photo op. Okay, we stepped out and we did something. Now we're going back to our situation. Okay, we stepped out and shook hands and we screamed and yelled and threw bagels at the window and rocks at the window. So, yeah, okay, we did something and we're going back. Because you know what? Nothing is consistent. It never stays consistent. They come out one day and then they go away. They come out the next day and they go away.
But
it's not
consistent. The problem is, though, that's the problem with that. Because you know why? Like I said it before on this show. People get mad just one day, and the next day is business as usual. Something will come up. Something will come up in the stores. Something will come up online. Something will come up on social media, and people get distracted. And that's the damn problem.
Well, that's the hardest part about America, sustaining movements, because people got to do what?
Mm-hmm.
They got to pay rent. They got to put food on the table. They got to raise their kids.
Yeah.
It's
gotta
hard
keep moving.
To carve out that much time in your life to dedicate it to something. So for the most part, probably those Occupy people will meet up for the anniversary, have some drinks, talk about how they gave Wall Street hell for those couple of weeks until the police came and bust them in the head and kicked them out. Most of my Democratic mayors, because they're tied to Wall Street as usual. So, I mean, yeah, I definitely get what you're saying, man. But as you know, man, it's one thing to go out there and protest. It's another thing to start getting picked up and locked up and you're missing work and you're away from your family.
Yeah,
how many of us can actually do that?
It's all about the activism,
okay.
As I've said a million times.
Guys, we got 2 minutes left. I just want to end off on this. No, I just find it funny how we spend millions and millions of dollars on this immigration policy. And once again, I will say this 1,000 times. Flint, Michigan has no water. Puerto Rico still needs help. But we waste a lot of money, millions of dollars, on detaining people in cages and all that stuff. Guys, thanks so much. I made the show very short. I'm sorry. I didn't expect it to be very good. But I want to give another once again, we are about 15 minutes away of Sean Black turning 52 years old
40.
In the next 15 minutes. Sean Black, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Sean Black ain't 52.
Hey, happy birthday, brother.
He's lying.
Happy
birthday.
Congrats, man.
So we're
hey, nobody 52 has an afro like that. Nobody.
No.
Thank you.
Well, Sean,
happy birthday,
you
brother.
All yours, Sean. You have final thought. 1 minute to go.
Okay. My final thought is right now, from what we've seen on TV and what we've seen in a newspaper, just keep in mind this is more so a human issue. Its politics are involved. Politics is the icing on top of this disgusting cake. The core of this is a human issue, a human rights issue, and the people that are being separated from their families, they are all human beings, and they're not pawns. And this is what this administration has been doing to try to gain more power or solidify the power that they think they have going forward.
Okay, nah. Thank you so much. Brother B, thank you so much. Kato, thank you so much. And Sean Black, go school yourself. Guys, thank you so much.
Oh, my God.
Guys, thank you so much. Tune in Monday night. Well, tune in Monday to Absolute Truth. And this Sunday night, 8:30 to Brother B's show, The Menu. Guys, thank you so much.
Right.
And have a good night. Thank you.
Good night. Happy birthday, brother.
Good night, y'all.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Yep, happy birthday.
Hey.